Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Happy New Year. This is the last day I could say that since it's January 31st, and welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. Here's a quick announcement. Our January heart-centered and passion-driven Inspirations for Better Living digital magazine designed to help moms build a better future for themselves, their families, and loved ones is now live at inspirationsforbetterliving.com. January's theme is The New Me in the New Year. The magazine offers inspirational stories from our dedicated team of experts to help you navigate your current situation with confidence in your motherhood journey as the COO, if not the CEO, of your family. So please go to inspirationsforbetterliving.com and treat yourself to some engaging, entertaining, and enlightening stories. You deserve it. As for our radio show this morning, my guest for today is Marie Diamond. Marie is one of the world's top transformational leaders, the star of the major network TV show Feng Shui Your Life, a best-selling author and an expert teacher on the law of attraction and Feng Shui. She is an energy master and was featured in the worldwide phenomenon The Secret. Marie's mission is to enlighten 500 million people with her teaching and wisdom. She merges her profound intuitive knowledge with her extensive studies of quantum physics, feng shui, and meditation to help her students achieve financial success, improve health, long-lasting relationships, and spiritual growth. Marie has taught more than 1 million students over the last 30 years and has spoken in more than 30 countries. She has published best-selling online courses with Mind Valley, Learning Strategies, Unity, and The Shift Network. Marie is a founding member of the Global Transformational Leadership Council and the founder and president of the Association of Transformational Leaders of Europe. She is a business and spiritual mentor to the who's who's of celebrities in film, music, C-suites, global leadership, sports, and royal palaces. Marie's latest book, Feng Shui Your Life, A Beginner's Guide to Using Your Home to Attract the Life of Your Dream, is an easy-to-follow step-by-step manual about feng shui energy, how it flows around you and your space, and their impact on people in your life and business. As for our kitchen table conversation this morning, Marie and I will be having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and how we can create fortunes, enhance our health, love life, and family dynamics, and live our best life in 2024 by simply repositioning, adding, or removing items around our house and office. Happy Wednesday and Happy New Year, Marie, and welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm amazing, and thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Wonderful. It is a pleasure to have you with me. Feng Shui Your Life, A Beginner's Guide to Using Your Home to Attract the Life of Your Dream, is a highly informative and engaging crafted guidebook. It is easy to read, empowering read, and so congratulations on this release.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Well, let's get started in getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, you know, the present moment is I live in the peninsula and I do all the things that you just shared, so that's the present moment. But where did it start? So I'm originally from Belgium, from a beautiful city called Bruges, and called also the Venice of the North, very romantic place, medieval place. And I was born just in a family, a Catholic family, lower middle class. My mom was a teacher, my father a salesman. And, it's like, you know, very regular family. But the difference, I think, was for me already that I was very aware of seeing energy as a child. And I think most children have that experience, but I kept having that openness of seeing as people's aura fields and chakras. And I saw energy of homes. I had no idea that everybody could not see that, but that for me was so, I was so open to all this. And I was a really good student till I was 15 years old. And then something happened. I was run over by a truck, and I had a near-death experience. So I was declared dead for about 30 minutes. And, you know, they tried to revive me. And I literally went to the other side. And when I came back out of the coma a few days later, I came back with a very clear message. I was given a message on the other side of light that I had to come back to enlighten more than 500 million people. Now, of course, I had no idea what that meant. So I'm at 15. So I was like, you know, I'm in a Catholic family. Nobody talks about enlightenment. But I thought that was about making a difference. So I started becoming very engaged in the community, in the church, to be of service. You know, that was like what I was focusing on. Then at 18, I thought, like, how can I be of service in a bigger way? Because millions of people, my God, that's a lot. And I literally became a lawyer because I was thinking if I could become a diplomat or a politician, the best way for that is becoming a lawyer in my country. And so I became an international criminal lawyer, and I started working for the government. Belgian government, European Union, because I, you know, spoke four languages, so it was easy for me to connect in with more international communities. And, you know, make it from there, I'm sure I did, you know, making laws that were, you know, helpful for people, but it was not, I couldn't see the impact, right? It's just like you work with, but I couldn't see the direct impact on people. So meanwhile, I was already meditating since I was 7 years old. And then after when I was 15, I had a spiritual mentor that I met when I was seven. And I asked that mentor, what did I do wrong in order to attract all this bad luck? You know, like I was such a girl that prayed, that went to the church. Like I did all the right things in my mind. And he said, just you have bad feng shui, Marie. I was like, what's that, you know? And, of course, of his research, there was nothing to be found in my country at that time. No book ever came out in my language, Dutch or in French. So he kind of shared with me that I was in a bad location. I was on the north side of my house, and there was no sunlight. So I moved to the west side to a room that was available in the house. And my life shifted. I changed the colors. I changed the images around me. And, like, my life totally shifted. So that was my first feng shui experience. And so, of course, I had still no idea. I just practiced the basic things I knew. And when I was 31, I started a well-being center. Like, I was like, it's not the direct way to help people. So I started kind of a spiritual well-being center in my hometown, where I was teaching people about meditation, some basic feng shui. I was mentoring people, and interesting enough, because I work with a lot of politicians in my 5 years of being a lawyer, my first clients to release their stress were actually politicians. So it was really funny. So I was meeting like leaders coming to me how to calm their spirit and have better connection with their intuition. So, and I started speaking, and I really attracted very quickly a lot of following in my country and in the Netherlands. And at 38, I thought, like, I'm not going to reach millions of people here because I'm in a small country, you know. So I immigrated to the U.S., and within a month, I really attracted high-end clients here, Oscar-winning clients, you know, luminaries of the self-help world that all came to me telling me I'm stuck. So I became their mentor. Meanwhile, I had studied feng shui in Malaysia with a grandmaster. I had got my master's certificate, and I started bringing in feng shui and the law of attraction. And within a year and a half, I was invited to be in the mastermind, the Global Transformational Leadership Council created by Jack Canfield.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the film The Secret was mostly filmed, in that community. And so I'm the only European that got in the movie The Secret. And, of course, that opened up the door.
Yeah.
500 million people, because that's how many people have seen, heard, watched, read the movie or the book, The Secret. So, and from that moment on, I just kept going and sharing my knowledge about Feng Shui, Law of Attraction. And yeah, so kind of how I got to the present moment.
Fantastic. That is really a wonderful life journey. And the funny thing about it, I think a lot of times Marie, people don't realize it, you know, like if one, when you were born, like, oh, Marie Diamond, this is your folder for your life. Really?
Yeah, I had no idea.
I was like, it's just, no, I'm not going to live my life like this, you know, so, but anyway, it just naturally flow. And it's the, you know, taking that journey of one step at a time, and you run into all the wonderful people in your life. Well, tell us about feng shui. What is feng shui? We hear a lot about it and bits and pieces. So please tell us, get into the nitty-gritty detail of what feng shui is all about.
Okay. Feng shui is a Chinese energy system, and it means literally wind and water. So it's about flow of energy, because wind flows and water flows. These are the two elements on a planet that really flows, sometimes intensely, like a waterfall or a tornado, or very calmly, like a creek, a source or fountain, or like a breeze of wind. So all the other elements we have around the world, like earth and fire and wood, is not flowing so easily, right? So what it really is, that energy system, I would say compare it like with acupuncture. So mm-hmm. if you look at the Chinese other energy systems, acupuncture of the body, Tai Chi, Qigong, it's all about movement. It's all about creating flow in the body, in the breath, in your energy field. And so feng shui is really the in that same system, but in a larger place, in a larger field. It's the it's not your physical body that it directly influences, but or that they tap into. They tap into the home, which is your external body, around your body. And so by then following the wind, like we're looking at where the wind comes from, so that could be your front door, the way you walk in, then where are the locations of your bedroom, your office, but also your personal energy directions. That's your wind directions that are based on your birthday, and we'll go a little deeper into that. And then also how colors, the elements, the five elements, are influencing that vibration, the images that are around you, the positioning of yourself in a place, that all creates a different wind, a different chi, a different vibration. And I think people in the West, they are aware of it in the sense that they would go, they like, oh, this feels good here. It has a nice vibe. And then it goes to other places like, oh, I'm never coming back here. There's something wrong here. Like, we do feel it, but we have no idea that there's a system that we can use that over thousands of years, because it's older than 3,000 years, that has been measured by function masters, that they found there were principles and laws in place, formulas, mathematical formulas, actually. It's really, if we go deeper, it's very mathematical, because it's every decision we make is based on calculation. It's not intuitive. You know, some people have an intuitive connection with it, mm-hmm. and they will, like, put something, and I'm like, oh, this is very well placed there. But most people, you know, we need to really look into it deeper. And so that system is around in Asia, and spread from China to Korea to Japan, but it actually only spread to the Western world in the 70s, in the 80s, I would say, because that knowledge was more and more shared in places where, you know, especially the British were very strong in Asia, mm-hmm. than in the 70s, the Americans were there with their their companies. And, you know, one of the things that happened is that if they hired, you know, top Chinese family members for top jobs, they would come in and say, I'm not going into that building, or I'm not getting that location if my feng shui master is not coming in. So this is like always been part of the elite. And I would say not the common people of the Asian world. They know some of it, like astrology sign, that's also part of feng shui, ultimately. But they're like little things that they know. But the intrinsic information was always kept to the few ones. And so when I learned it, and I was the first European student that my grandmaster, who was in Malaysia, accepted, I really knew, and he told me, you will be somebody that will bring it mainstream. And so that's what I've been working on for the last 30 years. And so part of having it on a television show, having all the books, talking about it today to you, it's all about making sure that people know that this can be something that can really shift their lives.
That's fantastic. That's really wonderful. I'm just being, this is interesting. I'm not sure you're aware of this, but we're talking about coming full circle, okay? Feng shui, energy, and so forth. I'm originally from Malaysia.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I came to the United States when I was 18. 4 months after my 18th birthday, I landed in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is exactly halfway around the world from Malacca, Malaysia. That's where I was born and so forth. And needless to say, of course, I'm a U.S. citizen now, but because what happened was my father passed away a year later, and that changed the trajectory of my life, and I ended up living here in the United States for 15 years without even setting foot back to Malaysia afterwards. So
That is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, that is where my journey started. And of course, and later on, Mind Valley, who was located in Malaysia, helps so much to bring the work mainstream also. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think a very good karmic band with Malaysia, you know.
So this is very, very interesting. Is feng shui a component of the law of attraction?
Yeah. So that is something that that was a big aha moment for me. And my grandmaster told me, I mean, I was aware of the law of attraction. I've been practicing it. I know about manifestation since early age. And I did everything I could with positive visualizations, vision boards. You know, I do all this, right? And meditation. And so, but then he said something. He said there are three parts of manifestation, three parts of the law of attraction. And the first part, and it's kind of what you already reminded about when you're born, you have like a folder in a way, right? It's like something received when you're born. Like, I have a gift to teach people, but I don't have a gift for singing, right? So we get some basic information with us. It's like our soul or spirit comes with a folder. I do believe that. Like what some people call karmic patterns, or you get some from your ancestors, perhaps from your past lives. I don't know if you believe in that, but I do believe we have, like, soul chose something. In fact, you chose to be born in Malaysia and ultimately to live in the U.S. I was born in Belgium, ultimately to also end up in the U.S. So it's all about that kind of your trajectory. And I do believe some of that is chosen. Some of that we decide, yeah? And that is part, that spiritual part. Can we change that? Of course, by making decisions, we can change it. Is it easy to change it? No, it's not so easy, but it's possible. And that's responsible for 33% of your law of attraction, your destiny, your karma. Then the second part of manifestation is when you take all this, that folder, and you have your own ability to create the best potential out of it, yeah, by creating the best mindset, having the right behavior, surrounding you with the right people, taking actions towards what you want in your life to be your purpose. Like, I believe your purpose is part of your spiritual part, but how then to maximize it and take action towards it, right? And that's, you know, what a lot of people in the self-help, also in the secret, they think that's all there is. yeah, that if they focus on that, and I said, yes, it's very important. It's 33.3% of the results. But in China, they believe there was a last part, and that was your earth luck, how where you live, where you sleep, where you work, your location is actually affecting also your mindset, is affecting how your behavior is, how your actions are, and ultimately will change your destiny. And so feng shui is really the quantum physics part of that, you know, last part. And so it's like over the years, I met so many amazing luminaries of the self-help world, top people that, you know, have reached really success and the top of the world. And then they come to me and they're like, life is not working for me, you know? And
yeah.
Then I come in and I'm like, or they're stuck in their success and going to the next level. And then I come into their home and I'm like, oh my God, you know, this and this and this is going on in your life. And they're like, how do you know? I'm like, I'll see it. I can see it based on the home you're in, the place you're facing, the things you have around you. And then they're like, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And then we twist things around, we shift something, we give it another color, we change the position. And then suddenly, you know, everything starts shifting for them because that's the last part of law of attraction. Now, interesting enough, in Think Rich, Grow Rich, there is a part where Napoleon Hill says, location is everything. Location, location, location. Now, most people think it's the environment of the people they have around them. And when I spoke to the late Bob Proctor, who was an expert in Think Rich, Grow Rich, and he was one of my clients. So he at some moment called me and was like, you know, I need some help, you know. So is that these people that are luminaries about that level of that human luck, yeah? So I had to come in and change it because he needed some help for his health. His health was really not in a great space, and he was stuck to go to the next level abundantly. And, you know, we added 20 years to his life, you know, what was really amazing, because it affects your health, because it affects the breath, the chi of where you live. And he went to another level of his abundance and his recognition. And so, you know, these people, and he told me, like, he said, I know you're saying it's 33.3%, but I do believe it's probably closer to 50%. He said, but nobody talks about it, and you're the one bringing that part. And I do believe that's the missing link of the law of attraction. And I see so many people doing great mindset. They do their vision board. They do all their affirmations. They do their visualizations, and things are not happening because their home is, I call it, like a three-dimensional vision board, is actually telling them story. So because everything around you is affecting you subconsciously, so you can do your affirmations, but if you're saying I want to have romance, and everything around you, you have all images of solitary people and the images around you, you're actually telling to the subconscious mind, it's okay to be by myself, it's okay to be alone. If you want abundance but everything around you is chaos and clutter, now guess what? Nothing will manifest. Yeah, because there's just no space for it to manifest because you have total chaos around you. And we have in our brain mirror neurons. So whatever we see around us, we reflect back in our spirit, in our mind, and we get more of it. So that's how we talk, how with people we surround ourselves, but also the location we surround ourselves with.
Very true. Very true, because we don't realize it in terms of how much the energy from around us makes a difference. My, you know, from a layman's term, this is very interesting, and talking about coming from Malaysia, right? So Malaysia is a bright, sunny day, that kind of thing. So I came to the United States in the winter times, basically, in January. And so to go to college, and of course, regardless whether it's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana or not, it's always cloudy because it's winter, right? Not enough lights around. And it's like, it affects your mood. Why am I doing here? This is a weird feeling. That sun shining, coming out, even though it might be 10 degrees out there, but having that bright sun makes a big difference.
Correct.
It just
like
fires you up, you know, so it's really fascinating. So true what you say about the environment does contribute to everything you are trying to manifest and so forth. What are the biggest misconceptions surrounding feng shui?
Well, you know, first of all, people think this is an Asian system, so it's mm-hmm. only like, you know, people that are based in the culture, Asian culture, that's like something for them, right? And I'm a guest in that culture, right? I'm a woman, you know, from Belgium. So one of the biggest misconceptions is that people think that it's not for everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. And I say to people, look, I have worked with people from all cultures, all religions, all backgrounds, you know, from very high end to people that have, you know, lived in tent camps. You know, I work with all kinds of levels, and it works for everyone. So that's the first mm-hmm. thing I really want to say. You don't need to be a guest in the culture. You need to be part of the culture. It works for everyone. And it's just so beautiful to see the results of that. It's not a religion either, you know, it's just an energy
right.
system. I mean, if you think about acupuncture, you know, you can do acupuncture on everybody's body, right? It works
right.
for everyone. That's a second misconception, I think. And also, I think a third misconception people think is that they imagine that they have to do so much to change something, right? Like, oh, mm-hmm. I have to renovate and repaint and like, yeah, that's like really not necessary. I say feng shui can be done on a very small budget. Most of the things we already have in the house in the Western world, like say plants, for example, we can put plants in a certain place and change the energy. Some of us, we have crystals. Okay, where do you put the crystals? We all have pictures of our family, right? Not just on our smartphone anymore. We have pictures. So where do we put these pictures? We have all furniture. Like, how do you position your desk in the space where you work? That is something you can shift. So one of the things is most people sit with their back to the door, like they have their desk against the wall. And that is a total no-no because you're literally hitting a wall. You don't see the people coming in. You are in what we call a weak position. I would say think about all the kings and queens and presidents and CEOs. They always make sure they can see the people coming into the space they are because they want to be, you know, knowing who is coming in. And the way you position yourself like this, and you have space on the other side of your desk for somebody to sit there, even if you're working online. Like, this day I'm talking to you on my desk, there's a chair mm-hmm. on the other side. So it's like you're symbolically sitting there, John, for me, right? I see the door. Just doing small changes in your environment, and that doesn't cost anything to change your desk around, right? Or looking at your images and thinking, well, you know, that image is, what does it represent, you know? Oh, but that, is that something I want to hang above my headboard? No, this is like perhaps I want to hang a picture of my husband or my partner and me over the headboard. That's much more romantic, right? So mm-hmm. we have a lot of things. We all have books on success, on improvement, on health. Where do we put these books? I mean, I come into people's homes and barely they have to buy something extra, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would say, oh, you know, I would add some candles or some flowers or, you know, some colors like this. Let's open your closets. Oh, you have a blue vase. I need a blue vase. Right? So it's just, we have already so much. And so, and you know, this is part of what I'm teaching to people is that, and that's also in the book, Feng Shui Your Life, like mm-hmm. there are simple steps that we can take to change the energy, to change the vibration, and we have most of it already. And so, but only the key point is that you need to place it in certain areas. And so these are three misconceptions that people think, oh, it's only the people with money that can do it. No, mm-hmm. everyone can do this.
That's true, very, very true, because it's energy flow, basically, in a nutshell. And
yes, correct.
It's fascinating, it really is. So you authored from Feng Shui Your Life, right, to attract the life of your dream. Please give us a synopsis of this excellent book. I love it. It's very simple. It's really direct you. It's an easy application. That's the most important thing. I think a lot of times when we read books, it's like, okay, yeah, well. And so this book is not like that. This is an excellent book to get, and it walks you step by step, and it's very easy to apply. And like you mentioned, which is wonderful, I don't have to spend a whole lot of money to redo my house, my office, or whatever, and just the understanding of energy flow, basically. So please give us a synopsis of this excellent book.
Of course. Well, you know, the synopsis, very easy to say, it's like having Marie Diamond walking with your by hand through your home. Right, so it's just I wanted to make it so easy to, for people. I didn't want to go too much in the history of all this beautiful energy system. I just want to, like, right away, I'm a very practical woman, so I want people to get going, right? And so, but what is very important in this part is because a lot of people use, especially in the USA, they use the Bagua mapping, and it's like a more American system of feng shui. I'm a classically trained feng shui master, so I really use the classical systems, but I have a way to bring it very easy and very simplified, but still working like it is, you know, the top level. And one of the things that is different with Bagua mapping, a lot of people know feng shui, is this is based on your birthday. So when you are born, you are having an energy profile created with the wind you come in. Like, you're literally, your soul comes in, and there's already a energy profile. And so people through the book, and also I will ask them in the book to download my free Marie Diamond app. And so they can go to app stores, put in Marie Diamond, and they get a free app. They can upgrade, but every information they need for the book is for free. And so they put in their birthday, they put in their birth gender, because it's connected with your DNA. And so you literally get a map of your number. So there's 1 to 9. And then you get, each number has 4 wind directions, compass directions, that are good for them. And so the book leads you through activating, and I call this portals, energy portals to the universe, that always work for you. Like, from the moment you're born to the moment you pass on, they are always activating and supporting you. And so in that sense, like, sure, is that there's one for success and money, and for health, for relationships, and a portal for your wisdom. That means your connection with God and the universe. And so people will see when they download, and the book, you know, shows you the steps how to do it, you will get a compass. And it's a special compass based on your birthday, and it indicates in the compass your directions. So they hold the compass because most people don't know how to work with normal compasses anymore. So we created something that it's easy, so fun to use even. And so people use the compass and stand in the center of the rooms that they are spending the most time. So we're focusing on that. Like, where do you spend 3 to 5 hours a day? Definitely not in your bathroom, not in your kitchen. So your living room, your office, your family room, your bedroom, that's where you want to focus first, because that's where your body is the most. And so they have the compass, and then they look at the directions that is indicated. So, for example, in my success direction, I have my books there, I have my awards there, I have there, you know, my contracts, my books are there, like everything that is aligned with me. So let's say you don't have books, you don't have awards. Well, we all have perhaps books that are aligned, or images that are aligned with our profession. Like, you have a show, for you it could be, you know, the logo of your show, right? Or you work in a company, mm-hmm. you can put the logo of your company. Or you just have books that are inspiring you for more success and more abundance. So you can just, there's always something. Yeah, but the first thing is we definitely need to declutter that area. You cannot have anything that is telling a wrong story. Yeah, so clutter or anything you like. Let's say you put there dead flowers in your success direction. Well, don't be surprised. Your success and money will feel like nothing is happening because it's dead energy you place there. So mm-hmm. you have a relationship direction. A relationship direction, you will focus on, you know, in your bedroom, on your romantic life. But in your family room, you will focus on your family to place that there, or in your bed, in your office where your clients are, for example. Like, I have always, like, I cannot put an image of all my clients. I have a globe there, right? So because the globe is like all the countries of the world, and I have clients all over the world. So just symbols, like we put symbols, and our subconscious mind reacts to these symbols, to these pictures, to what we place there. And so we activating that, and then we add to it also what to do with fountains and with crystals and with plants. And, you know, that we add a lot of things. Even when you're traveling, what do you do for the holidays, your Christmas, where do you put your Christmas tree? I mean, all these things are in the book so that people are really shift around. And so that is actually in the synopsis. But the personal feng shui is something for a lot of people that have been in touch with feng shui, something really new. But they have the tools, because there's an app for it, to support them with it.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that information. You mentioned something that's important, and I love this, and personal energy number. I mean, you mentioned how we can find it. Of course, it's in the book and, of course, through your app. Why is it essential, and how does it contribute to our success?
Yeah. So that was like a major shift when I understood that mm-hmm. you know, we are, you know, part of a quantum field. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I call feng shui the quantum physics of the environment, to be honest, because we are aware, people have conscious, that everything is one field, and that our thoughts and our feelings and our presence, that we're all connected. Yeah. There's a unity field. But still, in that unity field, we are very individualized. Yeah, we have our own way of connecting in with that field. And so the Chinese feng shui masters understood that there are, as we come in to this world, we come in from a certain angle. And as we come into a certain angle of energy, we look at the world a different way. So the energy numbers are actually connected with an archetype. So, for example, I'm a connector. So what is a connector? Well, I love connecting people. Like, I mm-hmm. love when I'm with people, like when I'm doing seminars or speaking, I am there the first, I'm leaving the last. I love talking to people. I love hearing their stories. Just, I am very, you know, for me, that's a very strong connection. I also love to connect the dots, yeah? Like mm-hmm, how the mm-hmm. Eastern world and the Western world, like quantum physics, how neurology, how law of attraction and feng shui works. Like, I love to understand all this, right? So that's part of who I am. But then based on that energy principle, there are energy archetypes. There are certain directions, like I shared, like for me, Southwest is my success direction. But for another archetype, it can be East, it can be North. So the angles are different. And then also colors are different. And the elements that you work with, like I am very connected in with Earth energy, because Southwest is an Earth element direction. Mm-hmm. So for me, I always love to see mountains, yeah? So when I'm choosing a house, I always want to see mountains somewhere. Yeah, so I'm not a water element, but some people will love to see water all the time. They would live at the ocean. They would live, you know, to have a view on a lake or on a river, right? But I am an earth energy. So literally, when I am in the living room, I see the mountains of, you know, the hills of Hollywood. So I love to see that. It just gives me calm. For other people, it's wood, based on the energy number, and they love to be working in nature, and they have the green fingers, and they love working in the forest. Like, if I walk, I love walking in the mountains. So for everybody, it's like an energy profile that works mm-hmm. for them. There's certain colors, certain elements, certain, even the energy number, and that's the second book I always suggest that people work with Feng Shui Your Life. This is the second book we have on Amazon, and that's called the Energy Number Book. And it's even how, what you like about certain professional activities, how things are good for your health, what is good for you to, on a spiritual, religious belief, what is good for you in relationships. Like, I know the energy profile of my husband, and then he knows my energy profile. And so he knows for violence. for example, what I like for Valentine's, and you know, I know what he likes for Valentine's, because it's like, it's a whole profile energetically. And so once you know that for your partner and your children, it is very beautiful to see how accurate it is.
Very true. That's true. One of the things that I've read some, it's been a while, I've read some other feng shui books and so forth. The difference, I believe, is the major difference from my perspective is the, yours is very personalized to each individual. In the sense that there are general applications. Oh, okay, you know, buy the money tree. You know, okay, great. I mean, you know, everybody knows money tree. That's why it's called money tree, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But then how does it apply to a person like me where my personal number is a 3 and say versus someone who is, like you say, you know, I'm just throwing a number here, or someone who is a 2 or a 4, you know, and then I noticed that for women, you know, like there's some numbers, men can be a 2 for the same year, and then the women is a 4 for that year.
Yeah, so it's really based on the gender. That's why there's a different calculation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like for you, the money tree would be in the south. Yeah, because south is your success direction. South is actually a fire element, but wood supports it. So it's part of the cycles, opposed to cycles of elements. So you can put the money tree there, but you cannot put the money tree there without adding real fire, so a candle. Yeah, so because the money tree will not support you if you don't have a fire element, but it can be a candle, can be something in red. So I would, for example, suggest you put the money tree in a red pot, right? Because then you have fire and you have wood. So it will be stronger. But I, to be honest, I don't even have a money tree. Yeah, because, you know, people always say, oh, where's your money tree? I say, I don't even have a money tree. Like,
right.
Because money tree is like something of that popular feng shui that people think, oh, if I have a money tree, I will make money. Right?
Right.
And I said, no. You know, it's like I have plants out, but in my best directions, if because they are south, west, west, northwest, northeast, none of them can have plants. Yeah? So I need to work with crystals. That's my major element. Yeah? So all my directions don't have plants, but they have crystals. Now, do I have plants? Yes, I do. In more the general areas, that is like south, east, and southeast, you can always put plants there. But, you know, for me, that doesn't give me money, plants. Yeah? Crystals do. Yeah? Mm. Metal does for me in certain areas. So I will work a lot with earth, metal. So it's really based on your personal vibration. So, but for you, definitely you can use it. And if people say, I still want to put a money tree, I said, great, and put a money tree on your coffee table, you know, where you are, somewhere you like to look at it, that's fine. But don't be aware that a money tree can actually block your money if it's in the wrong place. Yeah.
That's interesting. By the way, I don't have a money tree. I was using that as an example.
No, but, you know, you can have one.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But, you know, some people are saying, like, I have everything in place, and I'm looking, yeah, but it's not in the right place for you personally. So if you look at the Bagua mapping, it's very general. Like, everybody's like, in the back of your house, on the right side, you need to put something about this. I'm like, yeah, but it's personal. And so many times I have to say, yes, but this has been working against you. So what has been your results? Well, not really. It looks nice. But I said, yeah, but for some people it will work depending on what kind of house they have.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain houses that Bagua mapping works really, really well. And for certain energy numbers. But for certain energy numbers, certain houses, it totally will work against them. And so that's why we need to go much more personal. And then it works.
Very, very interesting. It's true because, like, say, your approach is extremely personalized to the individual versus sort of like, okay, in general, guys, this is what you need to do. And that's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But having said that, but you want to get to the really, you know, top it off, the cherry on the icing, let me put it this way, then your book is the one because it's very personalized.
Well, you know, it's a little bit, if you compare it, like, I love having a massage, by the way, right? But, you know, if you have somebody massaging you and they don't know the acupuncture points, right? Or they don't know the joints or the muscles, really how they work, right? You will have a nice experience, right? If they're just with oil and they do the massage, you will feel relaxed. But will you feel healed? I'm not sure about that yet, right? So if you then go to a kinesthetic therapist or somebody who really knows what they're doing, right? And you say, like, hey, I have pain there. And they're like, oh, that pain comes from this kind of muscle. This, I mean, your neck is blocked. Let me massage your neck. And then you're like, oh, my arm feels so much better. So because they know where the flow of energy is. And so, you know, where will you have the most results, right? Somebody who knows more intrinsic what they're doing because they have studied in depth, or somebody, you know, can make you feel nice and happy, but it's just there's no real in-depth healing and in-depth transformation happening. So that's a little bit the same way. You can go general, it will be, that's nice, but will it really shift you and transform you? That's the big difference.
Right, right. So true. Do you have any advice that people can do right now to boost the feng shui energy in their homes?
Yeah. So the first thing I always say, I want you to be aware of your entrance. The entrance that you're using, and first of all, always use your main entrance. Don't use your garage all the time because people, you know, they come in, especially in the USA and Europe, everybody uses their front door. And so what it does when you use the front door, you always are like the king and the queen, the president of your home. Like you're important. So if you use the garage, you're like a servant. Yeah. So then don't expect to make money like a king. You will make money as a servant. So think about that. So your entrance, you need to really clean that one up. So no shoes on the ground. And all of you say, why no shoes on the ground? I said, well, any castle, and I've been in many homes of billionaires, there's never shoes on the ground. Yeah. So they tuck that away in a shoebox or in the closet because it shows like literally poverty, like they're empty shoes. Yeah, or their boxes on the empty boxes from your Amazon deliveries. So clean that all up. And when you come in, just make sure there's like a lush plant, there are family pictures telling which family is welcoming you, or a candle, or an image that you, when you look in, you're like, I'm at home. I feel good here, right? Welcome yourself home. And then definitely declutter, you know, let go of things that you don't use anymore, that are broken, that you're like, you know, they don't really matter so much anymore. They're like old and refresh things, you know. If you have pictures of your family, put current pictures up. Don't put pictures up from, you know, your child when it's 5 and now it's 30 years old. You know, your child will still feel like a 5-year-old in your home, or you will still treat that child as a 5-year-old. Because that's subconsciously the message you're giving. So update everything. Like if your carpet at your entrance is old, get a new carpet. Refresh things. Like make sure there's a nice smell. You know, put like a scented candle that you feel that vanilla is very good, or cookies, or, you know, lavender. So something, refresh it. Clean things up. That is so something without really, you know, having too much money. You can even do that, right? That is part of what I definitely would say can boost your energy right away. You know, clean regularly, open your windows regularly, let the flow happen. And second part that I definitely would say, work on your bedroom, because if you wake up in the morning refreshed, that will be really helpful. So declutter your bedroom, make sure it's always, when you go to bed, it's made already. So each bedroom coming, because if you're there with people around you, you won't have night sleep, and the next day will have things great for you. So this is just useful things that everybody can do.
Right, right. So true. Do you feel like the one thing that people need to avoid, according to feng shui, what would be the one thing that someone needs to avoid at all costs?
Especially in the U.S., the big problem is in the bedroom, they have dirt and cabinet doors. And so we have mirrors in your bedroom. You're reflecting the bed, but you're reflecting you. And so some studies have seen in China that when you have mirrored glasses that or a mirror or a television even that mirrors you, that people have a tendency to sleep worse. to have more inflammation, to have higher blood pressure. And so, but basically, it's a bad thing because, let's say you're single and the mirror doubles the solitude, then you won't attract so easily a partner. Or if you are with the bed, you're kind of doubling the partnership, so don't be surprised. And I've seen a higher rate of people having conflicts when they go to bed. And I asked them, like, where do you fight the most? Oh, in the bedroom. And I said, close this off, put the curtain, put the screen in front of it at night, take the mirror glass off if you can, cover the television. And people, first of all, immediately sleep better. That is 80% of the time, that is what my students tell me. I sleep so much better. The second part is they experience that they don't fight so much anymore. They don't worry so much about their life because they go to bed and that they have stress from the day and the mirror doubles everything and they get more stress. And I'm thinking about this and this and this, and they wake up in the morning with stress. They feel much more at peace and in harmony. So that's the first thing I always say to people, you know, be aware of that. And each time, just that simple thing of taking a screen and put it in front of your mirrors at night, just it doesn't cost you a lot. Or hang a curtain. Sometimes you can turn around the closet doors that the mirrors are on the inside. That alone has such a major impact. And that's something I always want people to avoid.
Fantastic. That's really wonderful advice. What is space cleaning and why is it so important?
So space clearing is really, you know, not just clearing physically, right? Because we can wash everything, right? And still feel that that space has like a heaviness on it. Because everything in a home, every action we take, every thought we have, every experience that has happened there, everything we do leaves a energetic mark, yeah? So let's say you're in a space and you've been worried a lot there and you've been, you know, or you had a lot of fights there. It all leaves in the aura field of that space an energetic mark. And so then it accumulates energetically. And so after a while you're like, oh, I want to avoid that space. And you start avoiding that space. And there's like clutter there, right? Or you just don't want to hang out there. So then you need to energetically clean that space. So some people do saging, like kind of a traditional in the U.S. I don't use sage because I'm allergic to sage, so I use lavender. And so lavender, and that's more a tradition from the European background, we would take lavender essential oil and put it in some water, and we would, you know, shake it, and then we would spray it as lavender mist, especially in every corner of the space, because negative energy has a tendency to get into the corners, and you spray it in the corners, you spray it around, and you do that a few times, and you start seeing the air purifies, but lavender does not only purify the air, it purifies the energy that is there. So that is something you can do. Or you can work with essence if you like that more. There are purifying essences. You can also use mint or eucalyptus. That's also very purifying. You can do a candle. It purifies not just the air, but the called aura field of the house. And so people feel it. And especially when you had a fight or you had really a stressful time, put a candle out or do the lavender mist, you really feel much more energy. And that is like cleaning up the energy that is in the air.
Very, very interesting. That's very interesting. Are there different feng shui rules for different sizes homes?
I would say no, in principle not. But of course, every home is a little different, right? So let's say you have a flat home that is one level. Well, you always look from the center of the space. What are the directions? You also can, more advanced feng shui, we look at the front door. and then see how the flow of energy is from the front door. There's also more advanced feng shui. We look at time feng shui, because every 20 years there's different floor plans that are stronger. And there's also every year we activate something extra in the house because connect with the Chinese New Year. So there are different floor plans. So we're coming in a new period. So every 20 years there's a change of energy. And so actually now in the 4th of February, this coming month, as we're speaking now, the end of January, there is the 4th of February 2024, there's a new cycle of 20 years. It's a cycle of fire. And so that means we need to activate more the fire element. And fire stands for your purpose and your passion. And so I will suggest people to definitely in the south always add something in red or put some candles out in the south or even in the center, like of your, like the coffee table or on your dining room table, put something red, or you can even do purple if you like more purple or hot pink. You know, that's fire colors. Just we need to add, not like painting everything red. It's just, it's all about acupuncture. And the next 20 years, we need to focus on passion and purpose for ourselves. So that is like, there's a change that is happening for some homes. And then if people have like a townhouse and they have several levels, you know, we will look at every level. But, you know, feng shui can be practiced literally in an open studio. It can be practiced in one bedroom if you just have a room in a house. I practice it in hotels and Airbnbs. I have this wonderful client, and he practiced it in a tent. And from in a tent, you know, it's practiced in an apartment. So you can practice it everywhere. There's no home that you cannot use.
Fantastic. Do you have any advice on the best way to introduce feng shui to children and family members?
Oh, I'm telling you, people, the moment they start downloading the app and telling people, what's your energy number? And children love the app. And so, you know, today, you know, all children are very good working with digital. So I, they like, they all, you know, families are using my app, using Feng Shui Alive, the book. And so, you know, because everybody wants to know their choice and fun to put it. As I say to people, they don't have to change everything. If they could change something, because their life already shift. And they're like, so some most people, it's the women that start, but then the husband, I want to know my number. I want to do things. It starts with the woman or the man, and then everybody practices because it just makes so much sense and such a joyful experience, especially with the app. So for children, focus on their bedrooms. Yeah? So their bedrooms is their place of their success. So having the right issues around, teach them how to declutter and to things away before they go to sleep, becoming aware of, you know, what they can do. And I've been in so many children's rooms, and I tell them these things, and they really work with it. They love it because it makes sense. They are so much more in tune with energy sometimes than we adults.
Wonderful. That's really wonderful. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about your services, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Well, book is available on bookstores and of course on Amazon, and you can find me on MarieDiamond.com. I have a podcast, I have a show, I have a YouTube channel, a very wonderful Instagram, we have tutorial videos that may have gone viral there. So each time there's a little tip that we're giving. And of course, download app. The app is free. You get daily tips and messages. There's meditations on it. And if you want to really upgrade, then it's more like a whole journey for a whole year that I'm helping you to go through all the steps. And there's specific meditations, visualizations for your law of attraction. So, yeah, there's a lot of information that they can start with.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. What is next for you, Marie?
The next thing is I'm really focusing on mainstream, so my video comes out in the next few weeks. And, in a couple of weeks. I'm also traveling the world and get my information.
Hello, Marie. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, because you got cut off. I'm so sorry. As we close this hour, since our show is about family and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Yes.
Words of wisdom.
Well, the question I'm asking everybody, myself, and is how can I look more? And so this is a very deep question, but it's a really good question to start today. How can I love myself? How can I love more of my family? How can I love more humanity? How can I then take action upon it? So that's the wisdom that I wanted to share with you today.
Wonderful. That's really awesome. Marie, thank you for the wonderful recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, please join me next Wednesday morning, February 7th at 10 a.m. Central Time, U.S. My guest will be Teresa Chung, known as the Queen of Dreams. Teresa is the best-selling author, the Science of Consciousness promoter, TV and media modern spirituality expert, and White Shores podcast host. Teresa is a renowned expert in dream analysis and has dedicated her career to helping individuals decode the messages hidden within their dreams. With extensive experience in the field, she had crafted the Dream Dictionary from A to Z as the definitive resource for dream interpretation. Teresa and I will be having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and her latest book, The Dream Dictionary from A to Z, to help decipher your dream and thrive in 2024. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchenTalkRadioShow.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed new year. Marie, it has been a true pleasure. Thank you again and have a very blessed 2024.
You too. And thank you for the wonderful work you do for me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. What is space clearing and why is it so important? According to Feng Shui, what one thing should everyone avoid in their homes? To all our listeners, please join me next Wednesday morning, February 7th at 10 a.m. Central Time, U.S. My guest will be Teresa Chung. Known as the Queen of Dreams, Teresa is a best-selling author, the Science of Consciousness promoter, TV and media modern spirituality expert. Known as the Queen of Dreams, Teresa is a best-selling author, the Science of Consciousness promoter, TV and media modern spirituality expert, and White Shores podcast host. Teresa is a renowned expert in dream analysis and has dedicated her career to helping individuals decode the messages hidden within their dreams. With extensive experience in the field, she has crafted the Dream Dictionary from A to Z as the definitive resource for dream interpretation. Teresa and I will be having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and her latest book, The Dream Dictionary from A to Z to help decipher your dream and thrive in 2024. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchenTalkRadio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed new year. Marie, it has been a true pleasure. Thank you again and have a very blessed day. Thank you. Bye-bye.